What a blessing for us, as God's elect, to keep this Feast of Tabernacles in this age, able to rejoice now and look forward to a time of eternal joy, peace, and righteous living in all facets of the universe. Additionally, we get to look forward to a time where all is made pure and cleansed. Let's define purity, or what it is to be pure. To be pure is having a uniform composition, not mixed. Another definition, free of dirt, pollutants, infectious agents, or other unwanted elements. Examples given are pure oxygen, pure water. Having no moral failing or guilt. So on a moral level, to be pure. To be chaste or a virgin. Another example or another definition of unmixed blood or ancestry. So all of these are different definitions of what it means to be pure. If we contrast that to the world we live in today, we have air that is not pure, has been very much polluted. Same with our water sources. It's very difficult to find pure water. Our house, for example, if we wanted pure water to be able to drink from the well, we would have to add a $10,000 system in order to have the water come out in a way that would be safe to drink. Continuing, there's obviously a lack of purity when it comes to chastity. Very, very little is emphasized in this world in terms of standards of entering into a marriage pure and chaste. The expectation is no longer for there to be unmixed races. You're viewed poorly by the world standards if that's what you aim for or require of your family. Purity is, from a spiritual standpoint and a moral standpoint, is not even on the radar when it comes to God's standards, godly standards. Physically, though, the world does recognize the value that purity has. Pure water is desired, clean air is desired, along with other things, clean food sources. They may not be able to provide it. The world may not be able to provide it, but they do desire it. They see the value in it. God, however, values purity in all ways, in everything, physically, spiritually. He does value purity. He requires it. And we have examples of that throughout the scripture. Examples where God purified the water, right? Whether purifying and making sweet the bitter waters. He values fine metals being used in the works of the temple and preparing the temple. He values cleanliness and sanctification, keeping the camp clean in ancient Israel. Laws of cleanliness and health and hygiene required even us not to mix fabrics. He requires us to eat a clean food source or according to his laws of clean and unclean meats. There's these differentiations that God makes between the clean and the vile, the clean and the dirty. And we are to cling to his ways of purity physically. Spiritually, it's the same thing. That is the ultimate target. Let's turn to Malachi 3, verses 1 through 3. Malachi 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So that's the requirement. He is going to purify his servants. He's going to purify those that that aim to follow his ways. And it's him that does it. We do have the target and the requirement to be pure, but it is God that purifies us. He does not just select the pure and clean and good that this earth has to offer, because we know that's not the case. We know that is not truly available. This world and the people that compose it are a mixture of good and evil, and it's been that way since the Garden of Eden. So he is unable to look around and see purity of character, purity of spiritual nature. He is the one that purifies. He is the one that makes clean. And he is the one, again, that refines and takes out the impurities. So that needs to be our target. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 22. Sorry, verses 20 through 22. 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 through 22. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So that's that again, it's about purging out the old, purging out the unclean, again, moving away from the ways of this earth, the ways of this world, the ways of vanity, and towards God's ways of honor, God's ways of purity, and then we could be made clean, again, like refined gold and refined silver. And we do that by fleeing from useful lusts, verse 22, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So that is the standard. Now, as we keep this Feast of Tabernacles, that should be a point of focus for us, is to seek God through righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and out of a pure heart. Again, a lesson for this Feast of Tabernacles, a focus for this Feast of Tabernacles in celebrating it and observing it and in serving God within these days. And it's also something, of course, and part of the beauty of having the annual holy days come each year and being able to keep and rejoice and celebrate and observe these days each and every year as God commanded, is it acts as an opportunity to be revitalized, to be refocused on these things and carry them with us throughout the coming year. How discouraging would it be? If we didn't have our week centered around the Sabbath, how discouraging would it be, and impossible would it be to keep focus on all these things and to keep hope alive if we did not have what God gave us, if we did not have these commands that he requires of us, but we are truly the recipients of a great gift in having these days now to observe and rejoice in. We are truly blessed to be called now and to focus on these things, to focus on making sure that we're yielding to God, that he could use us, and that we could aim daily to serve him with a pure heart. Let's turn to Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16. Again, this should be a focus for us. Regardless of age, regardless of calling status, are we being raised in the church as young kids and teenagers or young adults? Are we baptized and maybe newly baptized or 30, 40, 50 years in? So let's turn to 119, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 6. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So again, in 2 Timothy, it says we are to purge those impurities out. And how do we do that? And how we do it by seeking the way of God, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy words. So that means that we need to rejoice, of course, during the feast. But what do we rejoice in? Well, we rejoice in the opportunity we have to share in God's way of life with our families, with God's people, with his called out ones. We have the opportunity to rejoice in the blessings and benefits of keeping God's feast and his commandments by keeping his word as it's walked us through here, and by truly seeking to live and yield to him and live according to his word. And that is the way that we could cleanse our way. Let's now go to Philippians 4, verse 8. Just such an encouraging scripture. Philippians 4 and verse 8. And this can be a focus for us, and it should be a focus for us daily in our lives. Things get discouraging. The news gets very discouraging. But during this feast, afterwards, as we carry forward the memories and the experiences we had, the lessons and the education we receive, let us keep in mind that this is talking about what standard we should keep in a very a very evil age, a very evil time in this world's history, as we look forward to a time that is good, a time that is pure, a time that is clean and wonderful. Finally, brethren, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What we've been blessed to be able to keep here in this Feast of Tabernacles, the messages we're going to be receiving and have received over the years, these are good things. These are filled with virtue and good report, and look forward to that coming kingdom of God. So we all must seek God's way now in our lives and during this Feast of Tabernacles. We must seek purity. We must seek cleanliness. And if we do that and we continue to seek God's way, he will refine us. He will make us clean, and we will be useful to God for all eternity as part of his family.